What's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 1019 of Flow Wrestling Radio Live. I'm your host, Christian Piles, joined today by James Dean Rader. To my right, he's got his best windbreaker on, ready for all types of wind, rain, etc.
No wind stands a chance against me.
Not a shot. To my left, Tyler Messenger. Messenger. Tyler Messengers is here. He's from Michigan by way of California, by way of skateboard.
Yes.
And he does not have a card to get into the building, which could be a result.
At least I didn't lose it in, where did Ollie lose his stuff?
Dominican Republic. Yeah, that's highly embarrassing. And we have Ben Askren. He's in the frozen north. How are you, Ben?
Hey, it's actually not frozen. It's beautiful out. It's 72. 42. Sunny. Couldn't be better. There's no way it says 42. I was just out there. I think you're lying.
Do you check?
No, I'm just making it up.
Fact check.
I'm just making fun
52,
of
actually. 52. Beautiful and sunny.
Okay. I was pretty close.
Yes.
Well, that is nice. Well, hey, you know, this used to be a tradition. I feel like we've avoided it for a couple months now. We used to get news dumped every single Thursday. Thursday, we would get news dumped. We'd come back Monday and be like, they got us again. We had a pretty good streak. And then the ultimate news dumps on Thursday. One, Vito out of trials. That's huge news. And the biggest news of wrestling, the retirement of the legendary John Smith from Oklahoma State. Ben, what were your thoughts when you heard this news?
Yeah, I think I was working out. I believe, if I remember right, I was working out and someone else had got on the private and they're like, John Smith retired. And it was like, wait, what? I guess I thought if it was going to happen this offseason, what would happen like the Monday after Nationals, right? They would have said, you know, he would have said, hey, this is my last thing. And, you know, kind of like maybe even like Borelli, where they celebrated his last season. So it's kind of strange that it waited till almost a month after NCAAs to make it happen.
Yeah, I wonder. What was it, something where Coach Smith didn't know that was going to be the reality? Was he like, I don't know if I'm going to retire. I don't know. And then he gets a week, the dust settles after the season. He's like, okay, I'm ready. And then you start going through that process. That's my, you know, a presumption, you know, I don't know that to be the case.
I feel like after, you know, he did it for 33 years, I feel like, man, I feel like when the older coaches retire, they know what's coming. They know what it feels like. And they just, you know, like I said, they kind of plan it out almost like Borelli did. So, yeah, definitely a surprise. Maybe, I guess maybe it's a good time to break the news that, well, the real reason he's retiring is to be the next guest host on FRL.
that was a funny tweet. Yeah, I mean, the stars really aligned there to make that happen. So. They said that everyone is asking what's going to happen when Ben.
Why do we need John when we've got the best John impersonator ready on the show?
Yeah, there was a request.
I'm retiring. Perfect timing. Look at this, within 2 weeks.
You're retiring from your life of impersonation, of being an impressionist?
But, yes, that also. But no, I was thinking about him on FRL. I was thinking it would be, number one, it would be great. But you guys would be too scared of him. You guys would be way too scared of him. He'd be like, nope, JD, shut it. I'm up there. Keep talking like that.
Yeah, and I would have
JD
to shut it.
Just shut up.
You'd have to shut up.
When John Smith talk, you listen.
Yeah. Well, I don't know him particularly well. I think that would be the main impediment, and the fact that he would have no interest in doing a podcast.
He was pretty good on the radio on the call for the Olympics.
Oh yeah, I mean, he'd be good at whatever he wanted to do, but it just doesn't seem like something that would interest him. So that was a funny joke that someone said though. Yeah, so I guess the big question is, you know, who comes in, who ends up being the head coach at Oklahoma State? That's the next thing. And how fast do they fill this role?
They need to do it fast.
Do they?
Absolutely.
I don't think so. Why?
Really? Well, I just think the longer you go without what's fast, I guess not like a day, but, you know, say if it went 3 or 4 weeks, I think that would be less than ideal.
Okay.
You're going to have the portal closing and, you know, there's probably going to be some people on the team who are like, well, who's going to be next? Is it going to be Coleman? Is it going to be someone outside of the program? Is it going to be an Oklahoma State alum, like a Pat Papalizio? Like, what's going to happen, right? So I would think that would be relevant.
Who should Oklahoma State's first phone call be, Ben?
Man, I'd call Pat Pop and just see. I would just see what he's up to.
Yes, yeah. What's up? What are you up to?
Hey, got a hunch what he's up to.
Are you coaching wrestling still? I knew it.
You got any interest in Stillwater, Oklahoma? Did you love your time here? Oh, you did. Oh, all right.
Do you think Oklahoma State should look outside? Because this is I did a video about this, but Oklahoma State, I think, is one of, if not the most, like, insular programs in college wrestling. Very few members of the staff are non-Cowboy alums. Do you think there's should they look outside of Oklahoma State tree?
It doesn't feel like they're going to, so I'm not even really considering it, because I just don't think that's a possibility.
Yeah.
I think they are going to stay within. And they haven't had a lot of – they've had like 5 or 6 head coaches only in the whole length of the program, which has been a very long time.
Yeah, not many.
It's not a lot.
No. Well, you know, John was 33 years, and Gallagher was a long time. And I forget how long Joe C. was there.
He was the one that was a little shorter.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, I mean, I think Pat Pop would be an interesting call. I think Coleman is definitely someone who could do it. You know, Neil Arisman just won Coach of the Year. He is obviously an Oklahoma State graduate, Little Rock. So there's kind of a whole bunch of good choices. John Smith is kind of like the one after Gable. Gable had that really ridiculous coaching tree, and now John Smith has a really ridiculous coaching tree. He's got athletes who wrestled for him all over the place.
He does. My prediction is they go with Coleman. Coleman taps Arisman to be his associate head coach, because if Coleman slides up, that creates a vacancy for his old role. And maybe he'll look to just slide everyone up and just hire another assistant. But I think that's just my guess. That's who he's reached out to in the past, back when
They wrestled on the same team. They were buddies and everything.
Yeah. I don't know if they were on the same team or not.
They definitely were, because I remember Neil Arisman was – yeah, for sure they were, because Coleman was younger than me, and I remember Neil Arisman wrestled Chandler multiple times, so they were absolutely on the same team for at least a couple of years.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I just remember Neil wrestling in the 2011 NCAAs. That just feels like kind of removed from Coleman's.
So – yeah, Chandler graduated 09, so that was probably 08, 09, and Coleman was younger than me, and I graduated 07, so he had to be at least 08, 09.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, somewhere there.
So they're teammates, but clearly close. They worked closely together at UNC.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think I'm curious what direction they go and what we learn about the process. Is it, because it feels presumed that it's Coleman done deal, and I don't know if that's the case or not.
Well, I mean, you probably are guessing they're not going outside Oklahoma State alum. Also, Pat Papalizio is obviously one that's doing a really, really good job. And then, you know, honestly, you look, I just looked through the top 10 NCAAs this year, and it's like, you look at those head coaches, they're not going anywhere. None of them. I would be so surprised if any of them left. And it's like, who else are their options? You know, you say like a Mark Branch was an Oklahoma State alum, and he had a few hot years in Wyoming, but now the last few years maybe haven't been quite as great. So that doesn't seem like a possibility. Like, where else would they go?
Well, okay, we all know the coaching tree. You got Arisman, Coleman, Branch, Pendleton. Those are the main ones. Okay, outside of that, outside of the tree, you say you look at the top 10, you see no one that would.
No, it does.
No one that would be a good option, or no one that would consider leaving? Because
Gray at Cornell, Bormet at Michigan, Dresser at Iowa State, Brands at Iowa, Jones at Arizona State, Roby at Virginia Tech, Ryan at Ohio State, Manning at Nebraska, and then there's Oklahoma State. Like, who in that? I can't, in any imaginary world, I can't imagine any of those guys leaving.
Listen, I just disagree.
Am I crazy?
Yeah, you're crazy.
Really?
I think you're.
Who?
You're,
tell me.
Well, listen, it's not about who yet. The first point is Oklahoma State a better job than these other jobs? It is the funding, the opportunity, likely the financial is going to be greater than that of most of these programs. And listen, I'm just as an example, I'm a huge Virginia Tech fan. But the idea that the Virginia Tech head coaching job is a better job than the Oklahoma State head coaching job, you know that's not the case, Ben. And I think that's the case for a lot of programs. Arizona State, that's a good job. But you think Zeke Jones doesn't see Oklahoma State and think, I might be able to do a little bit more there? Sunkist just folded?
No.
No?
No way.
You don't think he could do better?
No. I don't know if it's do better. It's kind of about, for a lot of these guys, what do they want in their life? And Zeke Jones was an Arizona State alum. He got kind of like his dream job. He's doing a good job there. I know he likes living there, like to move. I don't know. Have you been to Phoenix and have you been to Stillwater?
This is all about your hatred of Stillwater, Ben.
No, it's not. Everything it's about back to that. Me being a normal adult and realizing like, well, you know, I love wrestling. I freaking love wrestling. But there is more to life. Like, where do I want to live? You know, is my family around? These type of things, they are worth considering.
The bar for normal adult has just been lowered.
Can you imagine, Christian, if you told your wife you were going to go from your beautiful home in, we'll say Scottsdale, Arizona, and you're going to Stillwater? She'd be like, divorce.
She'd be like, as long as I'm by your side, dear.
Yeah, right.
No. You
know, some people would prefer Stillwater.
Yeah, some people
believe it or not.
Some people like a simple.
That is fair.
A simple life.
Simple life. Buy an acreage. Get a pond. Do some fishing. Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, I threw those two out, but I mean, even the great Sean Bormet.
You're kidding.
The alum thing isn't, you know, with Zeke being an ASU alum, Sean being a Michigan alum, you know, I understand it. But Mike Gray, you know, he's an alum of Cornell, but.
Bro, Mike Gray is not leaving Cornell. Just stop.
I know.
Christian's just having fun.
You're making terrible points this morning.
No, I'm not. You think you actually are pretending that this job is not as good. It's still one of the best jobs.
It's a great job. I don't disagree, but these people are happy and they're doing great. And
they're miserable, Ben.
Stop.
You don't know the darkness.
I don't know. I feel like a lot of the best wrestling coaches are already making a decent amount of money, even though the Oklahoma State job might be that much more.
What if it's 3X?
It's not probably not of these top programs, of some of the lower programs. Yeah, probably, but like of these 2X. Top ones.
If you say, what if you reach out to Jordan Burroughs? Say JB.
That'd be interesting.
650. Come on.
I actually think like someone like that, given that the Olympic trials is happening this week and some of these people will not make it. I actually think that, you know, David Taylor's going to make it, but like a Jordan Burroughs or David Taylor, someone like that who may be ready to move on, like that would be actually interesting.
Yeah, someone like that.
Yeah.
Jordan's not really interested in coaching in college, though.
That's what he said.
That's what he says. But
I'm curious. So here's – I have two thoughts on this. One, I mean, I take Jordan at his word for sure, but he is being asked that question in the – middle of his competitive career, right? So he can't not think about, one, his experience when he was an assistant coach and he was in the middle of his competitive career. That's his college coaching experience that he's had right now. That was not a good experience. When he actually retires from the sport, this is one of the most, you know, you still remain a competitor, right? And is he going to be able to scratch that competitive itch?
Yes.
You know, just, you know, having a club in Philadelphia. I don't know. And I don't even know that's what he wants to do. So he may say, maybe I do want to do this, man. You know, it was an opportunity. I didn't think when I retired, the Oklahoma State head coaching position would be a possibility. Those could be things he's saying and thinking. So while he said that and I believe him, I think it's a different thing once you've retired.
Didn't competition. He also say, part of his move to Philly was he wanted his family to be raised in a big city on the East Coast.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think he said that. I think East Coast is a big thing because both of their families are back there, right?
Yes.
His wife's from New York. He's from New Jersey. So there's a lot of reasons to not be there. But I'm just saying it's tempting.
We've had a couple people in the chat want to know why you haven't brought up Daniel Cormier's name, Ben.
Daniel Cormier doing it? Are you crazy? Yeah, zero chance of that happening.
Yeah, I don't.
I actually feel bad I didn't bring up Pendleton. I actually think he will be getting it, but I think he is doing a good job at Oregon State, and I think he would be maybe in contention, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, I think so too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Who, if Coleman slides up, who do you think the best, like the best person for the assistant job is?
I mean, I think Neil makes a lot of sense.
If he's not ready to leave.
If he's what?
So let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question, Christian. And maybe that's the dynamics of situations. Does Neil actually make sense? Because, you know, when I think of a head coach, I think of someone who needs to do kind of the business side of things and recruit, except, you know, fundraise, X, Y, and Z, all this stuff that we know a head coach does. Mm-hmm. And so, like, Neil obviously is doing a pretty good job of that at Little Rock. He's taken them from nothing to being a really solid program in not all that many years. You know, do you need two of those people? Or is Coleman, does he want to say, hey, Neil, you're better at that, you do that? And then Coleman's like, well, I want to be on the mat and in charge of running the practices and that type of
yeah,
stuff.
Well,
I enjoy, or that's what I excel at.
I think that's what we see a little bit at Penn State, where I feel like
sure.
Cody handles a lot of the, I won't say admin, but he's like logistics. You know, and maybe Kale takes on more. I don't think it's necessarily. I think we see that what you're describing more often than not. But I think there's examples sure. where it's not necessarily the case. I think Tom Ryan, Brian Smith are like the perfect examples of what you're laying out yes. there, Ben. But that may not be yeah. for everyone. That may not be what Coleman desires. I don't know. It's just my guess. I feel like Coleman. When I think of Coleman, Scott, I think of like a room guy, a guy that wants to be around wrestling, teaching wrestling, coaching wrestling. That's what I think of. I don't know this to be untrue, but like, I don't see him as a guy that's like super excited about the outside the wrestling room stuff of, you know, stuff that sounds terrible to me, like fundraising and networking and all admin, like. To me, Coleman feels like just a pure wrestling guy. And
I think you'd be hard-pressed to find any coach that's excited about that stuff, though, at all.
Well, is it their primary – like, okay, excited about maybe not, but, like, primary skill set.
Yeah, ability to do it well.
Yeah. Like, Sean, Tom, Brian, they do it really well.
Yeah.
Pat Pop does it really
Dresser.
Well. Dresser.
Notoriously.
Does
like
it
really
– yes, exactly, exactly.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
So that's what I mean. There's a lot of, I mean, I guess that's the main person I've thought about.
Hey, another good Oklahoma State alum mentioned in the chat was who's doing a great job coaching is Kevin Ward.
Yeah, he's doing a good job at Army.
I don't think they would bring him back, would not be my anticipation. But man, John Smith's coaching tree, it's pretty impressive.
Extremely impressive. Impressive career. And yeah, I think given other factors, you maybe take your time here, but I don't know. I initially was hearing Coleman, and then maybe Oklahoma State's going to look a little more outside the nest, but more to come there. Either way, a lot of great options for Oklahoma State after coming off a, you know, really solid season where there was a lot of excitement, energy around a pretty young team.
Mm-hmm.
What was the last head position that opened up that was this desirable or big?
Great question. I mean,
well, there's just not a lot that are this in all of wrestling. There's only a couple that are this big. But if we want to maybe bump it down just a notch where it's like a top tier program. I mean, I think when you're on this level right now, you know, it's like Oklahoma State, Iowa, Penn State are like the legacy historical programs. But then, if you include, like, say, a Michigan, Ohio State, like Minnesota, those type of programs, which maybe they're just one step below from like a legacy funding perspective, you know, Michigan, but that didn't even really open up because Sean just got the job.
Do you consider Cornell on the level?
They would probably be on that Ohio State level in my mind. Yeah.
And yeah, I think Cornell would be on that level. Michigan.
That was 2020?
Yeah, summer of 2020. Wait.
Or 2021.
21, yeah. 21,
yeah.
The Michigan job did open up. They, like, interviewed other people, I think. I don't know. But
who? Who did they interview?
I don't know.
They didn't interview nobody.
I think everyone really wanted Sean. I mean, you know who you're talking to right now.
Yeah.
Did you just say Jim Harbaugh?
Yeah, he put in for it. He's like, I'll do both. He's like, it's a winter sport. What's the problem?
You know who we haven't talked about yet that some people in the chat brought up is David Taylor. We talked about Jordan Burroughs. David Taylor lives on a farm right now.
Yeah. He could bring he could bring honey straight to
bring
Stillwater.
Honey. I don't know if he plans
on retiring. You don't know. Might not be ready for the climate.
He might not be ready to and he might not be ready to retire.
He might not be ready to retire. Yeah.
Listen, if he's David Taylor has lived in many climates. He lived in Ohio.
Oh, I was talking about honey. I was talking about honey.
Oh, honey can handle it. Don't worry about honey. Honey's fine. Honey's built for this. David lived in Wyoming, so he's ready for all climates. Okay. Yeah.
I advocated for David Taylor to be the Iowa head coach in like 2017 or like a long time. Remember, I wrote an article about how it'd be a great idea.
Yeah.
You wrote an article?
The rumor continues.
Yeah.
No little blog article on our AWA website. That was a long time ago.
Wow.
So for David, you know, I think at some point he will be a coveted, you know, head coaching prospect. But, you know, is he going to be done in 2024? I don't know.
2014, I wrote it.
2014? My God.
That was a dude.
Is there any scenario where David goes into an assistant coaching position before a head coaching position at the college level?
I won't. Never,
outside of Penn State.
Never say never, but that sounds extremely unlikely to me. And I feel like it would be, man, that's a tough spot for any head coach. David Taylor's the assistant. Yeah, like, you don't want that guy as your assistant coach because –
unless you're like the CEO type where you're like, hey, I'm going to go do some fundraising. I'll do some recruiting. David, you run, you do everything else.
Yeah.
Like,
at that
take
point,
care of it, man.
Make him the head coach.
At that point, yeah.
Yeah.
See, why not? You know, one thing I think that some like old head coaches could and or should do that they never do, because I feel like they retire, a lot of them retire, like I say, at 55, where I don't know, I guess that's older, but it's not old by any sense of the imagination. No. You still have a lot of active years left. It's like they should demote themselves. Like say, hey, I don't want to be the head guy anymore. I'll take myself down to a, you know, second assistant or whatever, and I'll do X, Y, and Z. And I want to bring in this guy and he's going to be the head coach. And, you know, I have a lot of faith in him, blah, blah, blah.
I think that on paper makes a lot of sense. I think in practice, it's really tough to say, I'm the head coach for 25 years or whatever. All right, now I'm stepping down. You're in charge, Miss Ben Askren. Now you're the head coach.
It's a power struggle.
It is. You're always going to, there's going to be gravity towards, for most, to do it the way they had done it.
What Roger Reyna's doing, they announced.
There you go.
Well, for a year.
Yeah, for a year.
Yeah, that's 1 year. I mean, it's not a long term, like.
Yeah. Well, you have to be a mature, well balanced individual. And I think it's, well, it may be challenging. It's definitely feasible. And it definitely, I don't know, like, I think, I mean, that's what I'm going to do with AWA when I'm 50 or my kids get out of school. I'll probably do it earlier than 55. I'm going to find someone else to run it. I'm going to say, you run it. I'm going to come in when I want to come in. I'm going to work with some kids because I love coaching wrestling, and you do it. You know, and will I advise them sometimes? Of course I will, but like, it's their thing now.
AWA is in trouble, man. You're already.
No, we're not. Well, I'm wise enough to know when I'm going to step aside.
Days are numbered.
And someone else is going to take it and freaking run it through the moon.
Crash Train isn't talking about retirement.
Okay. Got it. So, yeah.
Okay.
No, and then I would anticipate being in that position like forever till I'm 90. I'll be 90 in there just showing some moves and whatnot.
Oh my gosh, they're gonna be like, oh gosh. If Coach Ben tries to show you something, just go with it and then just put him back in his chair. He's got his special chair he sits in and just tell him thanks. And then just don't.
Well, I'm that
do
old
not do
like a rocking chair yelling, hey, hey, toughen up over there. Why are you crying? Knock it off.
I'll give you something to cry about.
For real,
I see you having a cane.
That's so funny.
Old Ben Askren is gonna look so weird because you're gonna have this old dude with no shoes on. Be like, someone take care of this old man. He has no shoes. At what point is it gonna be medically unadvisable for you to walk around barefoot? And you're a doctor.
No, it's great for you. I'm grounding all the time. I'm grounding. Some of you guys never take your shoes off. You're not grounded. You're not connected to the earth. I take my shoes off all the time. I was just out this morning walking around barefoot. Being grounded.
I went to the Austin Kite Festival and did that yesterday, so I take exception to that comment.
Wow. What a beast. He wishes he could do it with the longevity. But I'm saying at some point you're going to be old, and you're not going to be able to be barefoot all the time. I want to see those big orthopedic shoes. Oh, yeah. You'll need them for like balance or something. I don't know.
No, you're crazy. Support. I'm riding this one to the grave, Christian Piles.
Okay. Are you going to get buried barefoot?
I always think like, hey, what if I get unfortunately, my grandpa had some like senility I don't remember. It wasn't exactly Alzheimer's, dementia. But yeah, it sucks.
Yeah.
I figure at that point when that's coming out, I'll just dig my own grave and, you know, finish it, fall in it and, you know, have
some.
It's kind of
hard to bury yourself alive.
Wow.
I'll figure it out.
Yeah. You might start digging and be like, now why I got this dang hole? Is this for a jacuzzi? Next thing you know, you got a jacuzzi.
Oh yeah. Jacuzzi.
Yeah. Honey, I got Amy. I made a jacuzzi.
All right.
Oh, you guys are hilarious.
You guys want to move on?
We got to talk about Vito.
We
got
were
all
just
distracted.
Talking about jacuzzis. We just started talking jacuzzi. You're trying to move it. All right, fine.
Vito. Talk about Vito and 57 kg.
Man, it's. I think this actually parlays well into Nomad's horrendous take that JD co-signed.
Oh God, what was he talking about?
I can't believe that.
So bad.
Yeah. Well. But so Vito says, I think Vogar actually put it out, hey, the cut's too much. He's coming off a big injury. We're going to focus on 61. And it's kind of the problem I've been discussing about 57 since last spring. We have a huge issue because there's not actually – you look at the bracket and the list of qualifiers, you say, oh, wow. But what you don't say is like, well, half of these guys are going to be completely malnourished, emaciated, have low energy, and have no idea if they're going to be able to like compete close to the best we've seen them compete. So now we're just talking about the people that can make this weight in a healthy way. And I think Vito's a victim of that. We saw what he looked like at 57 kilograms. Everyone talks about Final X Thomas Gilman. No one talks about U23s after that and how – frankly, poor he looked. And everyone said it was the cut. And you turn the page on Vito's career after the U23s, what happens? He moves up and he's incredible. He did have some losses, but the highest heights we've ever seen Vito wrestle at were at 61 kilograms, 133 pounds. So to me, this is all about the weight. It's really unfortunate. If this was at 133 pounds, we would see Vito wrestling this week. And he's not that guy. He's not that small. And so he can't do it in a healthy way. And I think, unfortunately, for wrestling, it's probably the best decision for Vito. Just, like, focus in on this. Don't do more damage. Don't set yourself further back and jeopardize going back-to-back at 61. So it's a bummer, but it's the reality when you don't have enough weight classes.
I forgot about U23s.
Yeah, everyone did.
Yeah.
Everyone did.
He did not medal.
Vito Arujo DNP'd at U23.
That's kind of wild, huh?
That is wild.
Nuts. And then the following year was world champ at 61.
World champ senior level next year. Is he that much better? Did Vito suddenly become the most amazing? No, he got to wrestle at the right
weight classes matter.
Weight classes matter. And Vito is a great example of which there are, unfortunately, a lot now. Zane Rutherford, James Green, Alec Pantaleo are three guys at 65. How well is it going to go there for them? Thomas Gilman probably should have been at 61 for a long time. He's held it. How is this going to look? We saw how it looked at Final X. We know he's huge, right? Dayton Fix, he's big. He's big. 57. His last 57-kilogram world team was 18 or 19. Long time ago.
Not recently.
5 or 6 years ago. He's too big. He's a 61. So that's the reality of not having enough weight classes. And it is a bummer we won't see Vito.
Yeah. I hate that was a really bad take by Nomad, unfortunately. And six weight classes just isn't enough. There's plenty of people when they're six weight classes that are not the right size to wrestle in the weight classes. So you get this type of situation. This sucks. I mean, I'm glad he's going to wrestle in the non-Olympic weight class world championships. And it almost feels like they should just host a world championships even in the Olympic year because, like, you know, this is not our full field. and hopefully we'd see Vito win another world title.
Totally agree. I would love to see that. That's what they did in 21, and it was really cool. It was in Oslo, Norway, which is a magical place, land of wonder. Yeah. Do we want to talk about that? Do you want to defend yourself, JD? Because I just took
yeah,
shots.
Sure. There should be 10 weight classes. It's terrible for the athletes competing that a good chunk of them don't get their right weight class. You really shouldn't go, you know, 15 to 20 pounds in between weight classes, especially at the lighter weights. But to kind of defend what Nomad said, that
no buts,
a lot of fans will secretly, whether they realize or not, agree with, we get so many more sick matchups in deep brackets when there's only six weights. We get so many extra matches that we would never get to see if there were 10 weights. That you won't hear me complain about it as much as other people. There should be 10, but I don't hate six as much because we get sick matches like potentially Jordan Burroughs versus Kyle Dake, Kyle Snyder versus Jaden Cox, Thomas Gilman versus Spencer Lee, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. That is true, but
that's the only pro, but it's enough of a pro for me that I will not complain as much as a lot of people. And I'm not going to come at people's throat to say that they like six weight classes because selfishly, I agree. I like seeing those cool matchups. Sucks for those guys, but it comes at my enjoyment. They're suffering. They're killing themselves to make weight.
Wow.
Comes at my enjoyment.
I think the negative outweighs the positive for me that we do. There are a couple scenarios where you get a few matches like Jordan, Kyle, but I still have questions about Jordan at 74. And now I talked to Coach Slay at Last Chance. I don't know if I mentioned it, but sound like weights at not even like, doesn't even sound like of high concern. Like they feel really good about it. Now he could just be telling me that, but I don't. The impression I get from him was like, oh, all good there. Not going to be a problem. 2021 didn't go well, but it'll be fine. But I have questions about Jordan at 74 still. Like they changed the weight class on him, whether we want to admit it or not, when they went from day before to 2 hours. And Jade and Kyle, that is a good one. But just not getting to see Zane, James Green, Alec Pantaleo, Gilman, Dayton, Vito, the best guys wrestle at their best. I think that outweighs a lot of the positive. I do feel like
it right there.
Yeah. And that these guys have to go out and pretend that this is representative of their wrestling skill when we know it's just not going to be. That's just really unfortunate to me because it's not really a reflection of who they are as wrestlers necessarily. It's like there's some science experiment now. But I think you could get it. Oh, here's a question. I think I know the answer.
8 weight classes?
If you could do this right now, Ben, and say
yes,
world weight classes is 8 forever, but Olympics is 8 forever.
I think that's a yes.
You sign up for that?
I actually think the ideal is either 9 or 10. I've laid them out a whole bunch of times.
He's got models.
8's not terrible. Remember, so I think it was, I would go 55,
no, 60.
60, 65, 70, 75, 80, 85, 90, which 90 is what? That's 100 and maybe 90 in the heavyweights. So that would be 9. I guess in that case, maybe you would say take out 55, start at 60.
60, 59, something there. 55 is nuts. 121 pounds.
I mean, we talked about this before, but historically it's been significantly smaller. And it feels like, yes, Americans are large for that, but obviously there are other countries that have smaller average sizes. A lot of the Asian countries.
Yeah, North Korea.
So for obvious reasons. You know, but so it does feel weird. Maybe bumping it all the way to 60 maybe feels a little too big.
I don't. I think you get like 58, 59, some a little more. I think that would go honestly a long way. I mean, Greco's first Olympic weight is 60 for some reason. I think we could do that.
We all know Greco athletes are different size.
They are different size. It's a different pool of humans they're pulling from.
Ooh, guess what I have right now in my hands here, Christian Piles.
Oh, my gosh. I can't wait to find out.
Average weight of a person in the country. So the average weight of someone in America is 90.6 kilograms. And the average
male
weight of someone
and
in
female,
South Korea.
Or just male?
90 male kilograms is the male average?
And the average weight of someone in South Korea is 73 kilograms. So that's like, that's kind of a lot different sizes.
I'm smaller than the average.
I need to know
South
the
Korean.
Median. I need to know the median.
I don't know what the median is. So the average male, the average female in America is 77. I mean, this obviously includes probably a lot of obese people, unfortunately.
I think it includes all of them.
Yeah, yes, in fact, it does. But even Russia is only 70 kilograms. You know, so you go to some of these other places, and there, India's average adult male is only 65 kilograms, right? So you go to other countries, and all of a sudden, that those smallest weight classes make a lot more sense. In America, maybe we're like just too large.
You probably need to look at the average weight of a 20 to 40 year old male in
some
of these countries. Actually, yeah, these do have sample populations of, yeah.
Hey, this was the Samp Pops. What are we looking at?
Well, 25 through 64, you're right. 18 through 64, 25, yeah. A lot of them like that age range.
Okay.
But so, like, for America, maybe 57 too small or almost too. But, like, Spencer's, he's fine at that weight class, right?
He would be fine up at 59, you know? It's not like, I don't think it'd be make or break. And I'm not, it's not just Americans. I've been at Worlds. I see what the guys that are at the that are about to weigh in, what they're going through to make it at the lightest weights. It's really hard. These aren't guys that are just walking around. They're not in t-shirts. You know, they're
well, duh.
They're bundled up. I mean, it's extreme what they're going through. So,
sure.
I think that conversation and why. We're saying, hey, if we went in this total dream scenario to eight weights, there's a concession somewhere. I think that one of the concessions you make is let's bump up the lightest weight class.
Screw those small guys.
No. Help them. Help them. They got rid of 60 kilos. It was the most fire weight at the Olympics, and they got rid of it. And that's really sad to me. So I say
I would agree. There should definitely be a weight class in there. But I wouldn't hate it if it was 57, 61, 65. I mean, that would be great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
What I think, I mean, maybe we should have exhausted this topic, but I want to say that if I had the power to press a button right now and say the future of the sport's uncertain, but I can lock in eight worlds, eight Olympics, I would press that button.
I'm hitting that button.
Eight worlds, eight Olympics.
But then you deprive some guys,
well, I think,
potentially of their world weights, even.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I'm like in the middle on it. Like
you could like spread out the weights to be different. I'm not saying you get rid of two weight classes.
Yeah.
I'm saying you make it.
No, you are. Ones. 10 to 8.
Well, yeah. But I'm saying, like, just because one guy's weight class might disappear, another one adjacent to it might.
Listen, 86 to 92 is kind of nuts. Who's no one is a tweener with that one.
Yeah.
You know, that's like already, boom. That's done. We bump up 57 a little bit. Look at what we
did. But one of the most, Christian, one of the things that's most infuriating about the current system, and this is my autistic self speaking, but that the gaps are so strange because they go 65, 75 kilograms, 70 to 74, only four, right? And then you got a five, and then you got a seven. And it's like, what are we doing here? And then you go back to 6 kilogram jump, right? We're talking about the jump in kilograms between the weight classes. Like, what are we all over the place for here? This is so strange.
Like, I feel like you could almost get rid of 92 and get rid of 57, and you're almost like chilling. Make 61 60.
Or 59, yeah, something like that, yeah.
Make 97 95. Boom. I just fixed it.
Yeah.
Wow.
I kind of think that's right, because those big guys can cut a lot of weight. Like 97 is 213. If you're 230, like, it's probably not even all that hard for you to make 97. And if you're above 230, like, you're a fine sized heavyweight. You don't, you just get a few pounds bigger. You're 245 now. Boom. There we go.
I'm not advocating for getting rid of world's weights. I'm advocating for, in this imaginary scenario we made up, you're negotiating for more Olympic weights as well. So don't cherry pick me.
I also think there's something to be said for every single year. It's the same thing. Like instead of, cause worlds kind of by virtue of having more weights,
that's crazy because
diminishes what, you know, it means to win a world title when there's more compared to the Olympics. Now, comparison to the Olympics, you kind of, you don't lose.
Someone asked a question that I feel like is important to address. Someone said, does wrestling need the Olympics? Why are we subjecting the sport and its athletes like this?
I agree.
Well,
I think we do need the Olympics.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to see how things change it for college programs?
When wrestling's not an Olympic sport?
Yeah. You don't want that.
And that's why we have.
Let's just make a professional league already, damn it.
Yeah, we do. We do. We need them right now. We need this, the distinction that it is an Olympic sport. I believe.
Because then it's not a professional sport and it's not an Olympic sport.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not good.
And that's why we have six weights. You don't think UWW would rather have 10 Olympic weights? No, they would. But they can't because of the IOC. You only get so many medals.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's why we have six weights.
I also think that, like, you just start to see, I don't know, if wrestling just has a professional league, I don't know how many, I don't know. I'm just going to shut up. I need to think out my opinion.
I think we did it. I think it is now exhausted and we should move on. couple of things. One, Olympic seeds are supposed to come out today.
Olympic trial
seeds. What?
Trial seeds. Thank you. Olympic trial seeds. So keep your eye out for those. Actually, I'm going to go to themat.com right now.
Which means we'll basically have brackets.
All right. Yeah. I got what I want.
Okay,
if
good.
If you make me have eight weights, I got it.
All right.
I was working on it over here.
You're doing math.
Well, I was just kind of, playing with the ones that I was playing with. Which way do I want to go? I want to go. Four in the beginning, 58. So I'll bump it up 1 kilogram for you, Christian.
2 pounds.
58, 2.2. 62, 66, 70, 75, 80, 80 to 90, 90 to heavyweight. That's where I want. If you're only giving me eight,
that's a big jump.
I'd prefer 90 to nine. Heavyweight.
All right, that's what stands out to me. Is it? Could we get it?
Well, you're not giving me nine. You're not. I would. So if you give me nine, I'm gonna add. You know, I would take the gap down.
Did you go
so
75
go, like,
to 85?
I went on 75 to 80, so that would be 165.
Can we go 75 to 82 and then to 95? How about that?
Ooh, now
that's possible.
That's what I like.
So 75 is 165. 82 would be 180
ish,
probably.
Maybe 83. Because that's almost
no. Like that's good. 15 pounds isn't that? That's plenty.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would ideally, so in this, I would take what, you know, if you give me one more weight class, Christian, nine, I think that's perfect because then you go like, you know, 80, 81, 75, 81, like 87, 94, 95, something like that, then heavyweight.
Copy.
I think nine is the perfect amount of weight classes.
Real quick, someone brought up that Olympic medals are expensive. What do we think is more expensive, an Olympic medal or a fourth place NCAA trophy?
Listen. This is so dumb. This is so freaking dumb. Oh my God. I mean, this is why everyone hates government and bureaucracies. Like, it's because they go to these people who have these abnormally priced things. Like, the damn trophy doesn't cost $40,000. Find someone to do it cheaper. This is really simple. Medals doesn't cost that much. Find someone to do it cheaper.
I don't know. I think they just cost $40,000.
I just really wanted to make that joke.
That's a funny joke.
You stop.
All right.
You want to talk about Bo Nickel fought?
Yeah. Oh my! Did you watch the whole card,
Christian? No, you know what I did? I went. I watched the Gaethje Holloway. It was great.
Oh my God!
Then amazing. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go sit in the hot tub for a little bit. I sat in the hot tub for a while, and I was really tired. And I came back in, and I hadn't even started the girls' fight. And I said, I'm going to sleep,
bro. I beat you.
I can't believe you said
I did it. I
that girls' fight started so late.
There was a big gap there. I felt so. Yeah, if for those of you who've been listening, you know I can't stay up late hardly ever. And this was a true marvel because I did this from my own home where I could have easily just walked upstairs. But every fight, like, gave me a little more energy to make it through. And then, here's what happened. I made it to the girls' fight, and then I kept thinking Zhang's gonna put this girl out. So I'm like, this is gonna be a quick one. So we're gonna get to the next one. And then it freaking went five rounds, but it was still an exciting fight. And then I was like, all right, let's go. And stayed. I mean, every fight was amazing. I mean, incredible. I mean, no one's talking about the Armin Oliveira fight. That was an amazing
fight.
That
was awesome.
Great fight. Really fight. But let's talk about Bo, because he had he had another, you know, dominant win, a second round finish of submission. And he was kind of catching a little bit of flack from UFC fans at the press conference. Some boos are getting thrown out there. And then he double thumbs downed himself after winning, kind of booed himself. And I have an opinion about it, but I think I'd like to hear Ben's thoughts on Bo's performance.
Well, I know what my opinion is that he obviously, like, he wanted a fast finish because there's been so much hype, and that's what helps keep the ball rolling. Mm-hmm. He didn't get that. But, dude, it's hard. It's really hard. I had plenty of those fights where the other guy, he's good. It's not like he's a bum. Like, now Bo's starting to fight, like, guys who are – they're solid. And so, like, positionally on top, he can dominate and control them. But the guy is good enough to where you can't get a finish, you know, where it's really challenging. And I think the thing that I would have advised him, and because this is where I was in earlier in my career, is he should have probably struck him more in the first round when he wasn't, because he was really spending a lot of time looking for a submission. And, you know, he had a total top control. So he could have kind of opened up, hit him more. And then that's what makes the finishes come a little bit easier, because if you're just really strictly relying on the finish. And if you think about it in wrestling terms, it's like in wrestling, what if the person on bottom was allowed to just like do like this? Mm-hmm. Like, it would be so hard to pin them, you know? And then you get frustrated because you can't pin them, but you know you're way better than them. But because they're allowed to do like this and do nothing, then
turtle up if you're just listening. Yeah. It's just turtling up.
It makes it impossible to pin them. So, that's kind of what I think.
He should have to continue dominance, but a little showmanship. Taking a page out of the Ben Askren book, rode the bull on him while he was on top, but couldn't get the submission. That's how you keep the people talking, even when you're. It's maybe not as exciting.
Yeah, I thought they. The people that are booing Bo feel like he's getting treatment that he hasn't deserved, right? That he doesn't deserve to be on the main card, and this, that, and the other. And understand that perspective. But also understand, when you boo Bo, do you think Bo is telling Dana White, I'm a main card guy for UFC 300? This is the UFC's choice. This is their determination. They are one. Bo has no leverage to say.
Christian, hold on. You're being way too reasonable. These fans, they don't want your reason. They don't want your logic. They don't care about this.
Well, let me give it to the wrestling fans that are listening, maybe want to hear it.
This is a smarter crowd, the FRL crowd. Yeah, smarter than. Well, I'm talking to them. UFC.
So for the UFC yahoos, Bo's not calling any shots here, right? I think that's very obvious. And if you look at the card, look at the main event card, that fight stands out so much compared to those how awesome those other matchups were. And then you have this guy, Bo Nickel, versus a total unknown commodity, essentially. It's someone that from the moment that fight is signed is a minus 2000 favorite. This is not a fight.
Is it that low? I don't think it was that low, actually. But I could be wrong.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Every interview I heard they with Bo this week, they said minus 2000 to minus 3000.
I think it was minus 1200 once they stepped on.
So the moment they booked this fight, they said this is not a competitive fight. This is not a fight that people want to see. This is all about Bo. And so think about that, like Ben was saying, there's only one way. You can't just win dominantly like Bo did. The only win for you in that scenario, it was a no-win position.
Yeah.
You have to a highlight knockout. That's basically the only thing that's going to get that can reach the bar. So the bar's set way too high as is. So Bo should take it easy on himself, and the fans, you know, they can root for whoever they want. They can not like Bo Nickel. That's fine. But I'm just saying, I think the reasons they don't like him don't actually make sense.
I thought they were maybe booing because the casual UFC fan doesn't want a really good wrestler to come in and just wrestle people to death because the casual UFC fan.
But that's not been Bo throughout his career.
No, I think Christian, I think you're right. I think people felt like, especially when you look at, and I'm going to pull it up to make.
I mean, Aljamain Sterling was on the prelims.
Yeah, that's just what I said. Like the undercard is like ridiculously good with multiple UFC champs. Yuri Prochazka and Rakic, which is a great fight.
Crazy,
that was a
crazy
former
fight.
UFC champ. Holly Holm, former UFC champ. Aljo, former UFC champ.
Garbrandt.
I mean, you had a lot
Garbrandt
of.
Garbrandt was on the early prelims.
Yeah, former UFC champ. So you have all these people who are really, really accomplished. And, you know, this is obviously something that the UFC does a lot with the undercards is they want to make a few really, really exciting, compelling fights. So you tune into the undercard. And then obviously they feel like they're going to convert people to buy the pay-per-view, right? That's a prime tactic is the last two fights on the undercard are generally ones that they think will draw people in. And in that time, they can then convert more than they would have if they were not watching the prelims.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what was confusing for me a little bit is I don't know, maybe you guys didn't think this also, but I thought Bo was maybe going to go heel in the UFC.
He kind of should have.
But then he stood up, he booed himself. It's kind of like the humble, like wrestling culture kind of thing. And then he tells everyone, you're all going to love me.
Yeah, so,
I don't know. I just wasn't. I don't know. Maybe it's not even worth talking about. But I don't know if you guys.
I think it would have been a great heel turn, Tyler. I think you felt it. I think it would have been awesome.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't think he felt. I think you're maybe reading into that because of what he did with Jordan. Like, all right, is this some sort of a change? Like, but I don't think he viewed that as. I think he just views he's right there that Jordan was out of bounds and wrong. Mm-hmm.
I wasn't even thinking about that, Christian. Before,
oh, okay.
Before the Jordan thing, I was thinking Bo might do that.
Yeah, he still could, but yeah, it does seem outside his.
He seems conflicted. I feel like part of him wants to go heel, but part of him also really enjoys being loved.
Yeah,
well, that's you got it.
Well, and I think the other thing I think Tyler, I think he legitimately is just a good person, right? Yeah. And sometimes. Especially wrestling people and especially young people, which Bo's not super young anymore, but they have a hard time considering, and I'll give you the number one person who's ever done this. They have a hard time separating like character from real life.
Yeah.
And they think it's all 100% the same. But like Chael Sonnen, for example, yeah. I mean, he just got inducted to the Hall of Fame for that. It's like a Hall of Fame fight, the Silva and Sonnen won. But he was able to create such a great character, right? And if you've been around Chael off of camera, you know he's significantly different than he is on camera, right? So he created a character who played a part, and that made him very, very popular and famous.
Yeah. No one can do it like that, though.
He was so good.
That will never be
So good.
That will never be replicated. No one's even...
Yeah.
Gotten close.
Colby Covington character might be better.
No. Oh, my.
Ew. God.
Are you kidding me?
Stop it.
Not in terms of liking, but in terms of.
No, that's Colby's actual character.
Who Colby is. That's the problem.
Speaking of Chael, I did watch or I listened to while I was driving the other day. Chael did a video on the Bo Nickel Jordan Burroughs thing. And he was like, look, I'm not saying I don't even want to talk about whether I like what my thoughts are on between them. He was like, but I did hear a part of Bo. That I want him to explore more. Like, basically, it's like, I want to hear when Bo feels a certain way that other people might not agree with. I want him to let that out more. It's kind of funny hearing Chael's perspective on it.
He kind of, Chael felt kind of like us. Like, we don't understand what the contention was for Bo towards Jordan. Like, he acknowledged that. But he was like,
I like that he said it anyway.
I love that he said it.
Yeah.
Explore that more.
It was so funny.
That was a funny way to put it. So yeah, Bo. I think in his post match, he's very much pumping his own brakes a little bit. He's like, he's not like calling for title shots or anything like that. He's like, in 10, 12 fights, I'll be fighting for the. He's like, I've had 6 fights. Let me get to 10 or 12 before if I'm still fighting these guys at my 10th fight, okay. But right now, I'm still brand new in this.
So then, why'd he boo himself?
Well, because I think he's got a standard. He said, well, because he has a ridiculous...
It's frustrating when you know you're better than someone and you can't finish him. It's freaking annoying.
Well, I'll tell you the other thing.
He did finish him. It took him a while. The thing that is the most infuriating, I'll tell you this because I experienced it so many times. It's so annoying. So if the guy on the bottom would actually fight back more, you'd have a much higher likelihood of finishing, right? Because they're taking a chance. But a lot of times the guy at the bottom just clams up and tries to survive, right? And but then the guy on top is the one getting booed, and people put all the onus on them. It's like, no, guys, he's not doing anything.
Yeah,
like that's why it's so freaking hard. And in wrestling fans, I mean, we're a little smarter. We haven't figured out if the bottom guy's going like this on bottom, you know, well, the top guy can't do anything.
Yeah,
because the bottom guy's not doing anything, right? Yeah. And in wrestling, we have stalling, but in fighting, you don't have that. So when the bottom guy is simply trying to survive and it's making it very, very, very difficult for the top person to finish, then the top person gets all the hate, which is, that's frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that too. I wonder how much of it is different in wrestling too. Like, Bo, think about this. If Bo, think about the skill discrepancy Bo had with Cody Brundage in that match. Whatever it is in fighting, yes. There's a chasm between those two. If you take that chasm and you put Bo on the wrestling match with someone who is that much worse than him in wrestling, he can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. He can pin him in almost any form or fashion he'd like.
Not if the other person is allowed to stall however they want.
But in wrestling, you are not allowed to stall. They'll call if you.
That's
what
I'm saying. Okay, because of that rule.
So the point I'm making is that in wrestling, he would not have to experience probably the level of frustration he was against someone that much worse than him, because we know this because we watched his entire career. And everyone that was not on the level with Bo, he destroyed them, annihilated them, pinned them almost immediately. So I think that also is like from a competitor standpoint. Normally when I'm this much better than someone, I do whatever I want. Yes. And I put them away whenever I want. But in fighting, it's not really that way. And so I think that is why he was probably a little frustrated because himself. Because in wrestling, when you're that much better, it goes differently.
See, to me, I just watched a guy dominate another guy. Like, I don't know. It just didn't seem that – I watched him dominate that guy.
Yeah.
Were there a couple flurries where, like, maybe, like, it looked weird? But, like, the guy never hit Bo super hard. He never got on top of Bo.
No,
like,
I agree.
I don't think that it was a performance to be disappointed in. Was it not the most exciting fight ever? It wasn't, but like, I don't know, dude. I think he should go easier on himself.
If you're a wrestling purist, you should not want stalling.
Okay.
You should not want stalling.
I'm just saying, because that's like a strategy. That's a game plan.
Stop.
Less entertaining, but if somebody can stall their way to victory, you should just be better at wrestling. You should
this
be able to take
them down.
This guy
wants Greg Warren stall cam.
I don't know.
I'm just saying. Kale agrees with me. He said it this preseason.
Okay.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. I think, and that's one where you can't talk, and this is kind of like, you can't talk the audience in anything. So Christian, you were saying like, well, Bo Nickel didn't put himself in that spot. Dana put him in that spot. And that's where, you know, you can't reason with the audience, right? So he should have just said something like, listen, guys, you could boo me all I want. I'm here to win titles. I'm going to go take people down and beat them up. And despite your booing, I'm going to have a belt within 12 to 18 months. Have a great night. Kiss my butt.
I feel like he's not.
That's probably where I would have went with it.
Yeah, I wonder how many months it will be before he can.
Well, he said he wants a whole bunch of fights, which even if that's what – even I'm giving Bo advice here now. Even if that's what he wanted, he shouldn't have said that publicly. Like, he should have said, I'm good enough to beat the champ right now. You think that guy can stop my takedowns? He can't stop my takedowns, and he sure as shit can't get me off the top of him. So how's he going to beat me? He said, I know they're not giving me a shot now. That's not my call, right? So turn it around. Turn it the other way. Not my call. I can't get a title shot right now. If we were put in a tournament bracket and I had him in the finals, this would not be a problem. I would take care of him, no problem. But I know they're going to make me wait, so whatever. That's not my call. But put me in there right now. This guy's done.
Talk that trash.
Yeah.
So you keep your...
That's probably what I would have said for Bo.
So good job, Bo.
Should have hit the crowd with the Mike Tyson quote. I'm not going to say it, but...
Yeah.
I wonder if he was nervous, too, though. If he felt... Because one thing he said in his interview was, yeah, this guy's way more confident than any of the other guys I fought. So I wonder if maybe part of him is like, I don't know if I am ready to fight the top of the... I mean, I don't know. I don't want to put words in his mouth.
But even if you think that, you can't say that.
Yeah.
That's not... You don't want to say that. That's where you got to separate like character from reality type thing.
Yeah. Okay. Good job, Bo. And to many more wins in dominant fashion. Can we talk about the fact that Tyler ended last show in the most awkward?
This is, I was going to, okay, let me say this.
This is so, Ben, I need you locked in here. I know you're doing something. I need you locked in right now.
I have the show doc in front of me right now, and in bold letters, it says, Tyler made the end of the show so awkward last week. Let's ridicule him.
I don't know who put.
I don't remember. What did you do?
We finished the Tom Ryan interview, and Tyler goes, guys, O.J. Simpson died.
I actually don't remember.
I'm like, I don't, in my defense, I thought that we had. I didn't know that Tom was going to stay on the show. I thought that after he said bye, he was going to hang up. And then, so I thought it was just going to be us. And then I was like, O.J. Simpson died. And then Tom was like, oh my God, how?
Yeah.
But I just thought that everyone in the chat was talking about it. And I felt like it had just happened. We had to talk about it.
No, I'm glad you did. I just want to ridicule you more than anything. But it was so fun, because it was one of those things. It's like, how do you respond to this? What do you say when O.J. Simpson died? It's a lot easier when it's.
What
like,
did you say, Christian? What did you say? Can I know?
I don't think I said. Christian, you were on the show.
JD had a great joke. He was just like Christian's hero.
Christian was speechless. His hero just died.
Yeah, I mean it was tough for me. No, he's not a. Not a good guy.
Better football player than person, probably.
Probably. 2003 yards.
He was not guilty, so.
Well, he was guilty of other things. He did go to prison. So.
You don't know.
Ben. Have you seen the documentary?
No, I don't watch that stuff. Come on.
You don't watch documentaries?
No, I hate documentaries.
What are you doing? What kind
of? I kind of respect that.
He loves documentaries. He's not telling the truth.
I love documentaries. I don't want to watch an O.J. Simpson documentary. I'm not trying to learn how to murder people.
Well, it's not an instructional. It's not a tutorial. Well, it's not a high. It's not a how-to. No, it's basically about how he super did it, and he definitely murdered those people. It's really good. You should watch it. It's definitely one of the best documentaries ever made. Made in America.
Okay. What's it called?
Is that the FX or the ESPN one?
ESPN. Made in America.
It was a good FX one, too.
Yeah, that was like
dramatization. That kind of sounds familiar now.
I watched the Cuba Gooding Jr. Recreation.
It was the FX.
Recreation?
Mm-hmm. What? Recreation? Shut up.
No, it's Recreation.
Whatever.
Okay. All right, so that's enough OJ talk. That was the ultimate news dump.
Do you want to talk about the conversation with Tom Ryan?
No, I don't think we. I think not it's really. Probably exhausted itself.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm over it. Done with it, you know.
Well, then we can move on to questions.
Let's do that.
This is an easy one. With new colleges being added to the Big Ten, will we see any new wrestling teams? Are there any Big Ten teams without wrestling?
No.
No, but there
hopefully
will be.
Hopefully there's not less. Can Ben give us a John Smith impression of the Hamity transfer?
Well, he's not. He's done. He doesn't have to worry about
it. No, but he brought him in. That was his last act.
Last thing.
Dang.
He probably said, "Let me think. What would John Smith want to say?" He said, "Well, we got Oleshnik over the hump, and he beat Hamidi. But I think if I get a year to work with Hamidi, he got that good little single, poop, poop, boom, right there. I think he's gonna get a lot more takedowns and finish a little higher in the podium."
There you go. Higher than not placing. You keep it going.
I'm still looking.
Well, these two are the same, and I have a great argument for this because I think some people are just very illogical when it comes to this. So it says, one says thoughts on undersized wrestlers redoing eighth grade, and the other one says, what are Ben's thoughts on young wrestlers skipping a year in school to get an edge? I think he means holding back a year, not skipping.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
No, I think mean skip a year from the guys who are so good already as sophomores.
Well, we've never seen it.
I don't.
And you don't get an edge.
We talked about it before. Like skip.
You don't get an edge though.
Yeah, there's no edge.
They should reclass it. We talked about good ones.
We talked about how you might want to just take advantage of the years you have while you have them.
That's just good life advice, Tyler.
yes. But you know the argument that I made. Was a lot of these kids, so I'll just, in birth year terms, because that's how USA Wrestling classifies people, generally eighth graders are either 14U, second year, right? So in this year, it would have been a 2010 birth year, or they're 15U, which is the younger year of the 16U division, which is a 2009 birth year. And so I have advised some kids to stay back, but they're the 2010 birth year, right? And so if I said, well, if some people are the older, the 15-year birth year, and some kids are the 14-year birth year. Now, the 15-year birth year may have held back earlier. They just started school late or whatever the case was to be where they're already older for their grade. So if a 14-year birth year holds back and they become a 15-year birth year where people already are, they're just becoming the same age as the kids who are already older for their grade. What is the issue with that? And no one can provide me a good answer because there is no good answer. That is not cheating. That is just fine. Everyone's the same age. What's the problem here?
No problem.
Yeah.
Hold them back.
So, yes.
We got a lot of Olympic trials, freestyle-related stuff. This one is, which wrestler do you foresee making a Molinaro-esque unforeseen run to the Olympics?
I feel like that was so unexpected. I don't think we're ever going to, I don't say ever. I think there's no way we would see something like that on every Olympic trials.
Yeah. I mean, he had,
does that make sense?
He had kind of lost to all those guys and then he just put it all together. Yes. He'd always been tough guy, hard to beat. And then he was a different person from that point on. Through the World Cup, through the Olympics, he was he was super. I don't know. I mean, I think once we see the brackets, we'll be able to say, hey, this who would be a Molinaro type of guy, right? Who's a nine or so seed that you could see? I mean, at 57, I don't know if one of these high schools are just that kid. You know, I wouldn't rule them out.
But that would be one more. But like, no one was picking Molinaro. That's the thing. Is like, if you could even see a hope of a possibility, that ain't the person. Because there was nobody picking Frank Molinaro in that bracket.
He beat Stieber and Metcalf, or Metcalf and Stieber.
It went Metcalf then Stieber.
Then Pico.
Yes.
I think for a comparison to Molinaro, too, you couldn't pick a high schooler. I feel like you'd have to pick a guy who'd been around for a while, who you're like, I would not foresee that happening.
Honestly, Zane Richards is kind of Frank Molinaro.
Except he made the team last
year. No, he already made the team.
No. Last year.
Oh, last year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last year he was
absolutely
Molinaro.
Absolutely. No one gave him a shot at the ninth. Open. And no, I mean, he'd have been close to ninth. He was.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he wasn't beating the he had lost to Soriano multiple times. He'd have been back there.
I believe he was the one seed at the U.S. Open.
Yeah, but I think he probably would have been. I think he would have been.
Oh, roasted Christian Piles.
I don't know why. 57. Yeah, maybe not. Maybe not a good example. I think in perception, though.
Yeah, no, I kind of like that.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's because those 61 guys were up.
Yeah,
61.
They were still up, and 57's not a deep field as we've been talking about, but now it'll be deep, sort of.
People want to kind of bring up, so who has the best hit list ever as a high schooler? Jackson and Bo both be NCAA champs. Is anyone that has ever had a better hit list? I believe Henry won the U.S. Open as a high schooler. I've heard stories of Colat and others.
Stieber took third, maybe?
He made the high school. No, he triple dipped, but he made the semis.
Oh, really?
In the Open.
Okay.
Did he beat
someone really good?
Someone really good. I think he lost to Angel, but beat like a Simmons or something like that.
Yeah.
He was, Logan was on the level as a high school junior. For sure. Well, I mean, Dayton was pretty close as a high schooler. Dayton as a sophomore in high school, he beat Darian Cruz, who was an All-American. He beat Ronnie Bresser. He beat Stevon. All those guys were college wrestlers.
Yes.
Aaron Pico.
Pico beat Zane routinely.
Pico, yeah.
Pico was high school age, but I don't know when he graduated high school, technically.
Pico beats Zane like 7 times or something.
Yeah.
Which is crazy thing what Zane became.
To make the finals, he beat Jordan Oliver.
Yep.
I remember Pico beat McKenna so bad that I thought McKenna was terrible for like 3 years because of what Pico did.
That's such a funny line.
Oh my gosh. Real. Do you remember? It was a Fargo final, I think.
Yeah.
He just smashed him.
Yeah, he was insane. Yeah. That's such a funny way to put it. Yeah.
Beat him so bad, I thought he was bad.
Yeah. It took me a while to think, like, damn, McKenna's actually pretty good.
It is funny when you watch, like, one match from a guy, and that's your, like, impression of them.
Yeah. McKenna has, I mean, I don't know if you can consider it Molinaro-esque, because he's, like, you've seen the flashes with McKenna. Not that you didn't see him with Frank, but, like, if he won Olympic trials, it wouldn't be that much of a shock to me.
I mean, he's been in Olympic trials finals. He's been in Final X multiple times. He
beat Yanni in the past 12 months.
He would not be a Molinaro type of guy.
But he'll be seated pretty low.
He'll be like the 8 or something like that.
That's close to 9.
7, yeah.
You're right. You're right.
But still, again, it's not on the level of Frank, because we've seen him beat these top guys. He's been right there knocking at the door for the past 4 years. He was in the finals in 2021.
I'm not also super familiar with Frank's freestyle career prior to the Olympics.
Olympic trials. Yeah,
I was young.
He never had those flashes where he was beating those best guys. He was kind of like a step down for a while. And then, you know, to Christian's point, once he did that, it kind of like turned and he was like better forever after that.
Mm-hmm. This says Christian might hate this because he loves the USA process, but only change, this is what this tweeter says. Only change I would make to Olympic trials process is you have to compete at the weight 3 times within the year prior to the trials. I think showing you can make the weight and compete more than at trials is needed. Less flops at world. And then there was a follow-up that said, for world team trials, get rid of Final X. I hate to say it because it's such a great event, but having months to prepare for one guy does not translate to worlds.
Wrong.
Can I smash this guy? Can I smash him?
You smash, Christian? I'll re-smash. I'll smash his remains.
This guy, okay, who flops at worlds? There's been very few of those instances. Final X is freaking awesome. Great event. And
he said that. He said that in his tweet.
Okay, that's fair. Smash but him. Then also he said it doesn't translate at worlds, but it's like our worlds teams recently have been more competitive than almost at any point in history.
If you wanted to counter that, and I agree with you, Final X is – I like the process with Final X. But Zane Richards and Chance Marceller go and
you can
don't
cherry
win a medal.
Pick the
yeah, that's
anecdotal.
Cherry picking
data,
but.
So here's what I'll say. One, to say that the Olympic trials process is better because it's more likely simulates worlds is really – super wrong when you consider the guys that are sitting out. Like it's never more different from worlds and Olympics than when you have a guy that gets to watch an entire challenge tournament and just face the winner, whoever surfaces from there. So it never is more different. It's more balanced, and you actually get probably a better representation of who's the better wrestler at Final X. And both of those entities have navigated a field that is a status all itself, all on its own, right? The one guy sitting out has navigated a world's field that shows they are world level. And to navigate the trials process in America is a status all its own. So if you win the U.S. Open in America, that's you're running a world's-like gauntlet. And if you're a world's medalist, you run a world. So that's why I think Final X is great, because both have to run a gauntlet at some point. And then they meet fresh. And it's not months. Yes. It's weeks. Yes. You don't get months. And so I think, honestly, it would be so awesome. I think it would be great for, honestly, Olympic trials if they move to a Final X process. Think of all the what NBC could do with that if they had interest in it. If you have the matchup set. Because right now, they're like, they'd probably love to, you know, if they had interest in it, which I don't know, you would love to pour a lot of energy into Jordan Burroughs versus Kyle Dake right now, and Jayne Cox versus it, and these 76-kilogram girls, right?
Yeah.
But you can't, because you have no idea who's going to merge, because of the beauty of how great this event's going to be, makes it so you can't really promote it. You can just talk about the hypothetical, and then you have hours to create the hype that could be created for weeks in advance. So I think it would be great if USA, USOC, whoever the decision makers are, moved, had a trials, a challenge tournament, set the
finals
final wrestle off and do them later. Yep. I think that would be incredible. And I think it would be more even. It's, I mean, Kyle Dake, for all, you know, his complaint, it is true that it is a real advantage if you sit out while the other guy does a tournament. That is really, really tough to do. And so you can have the best of both worlds, I feel, with the Final X type of process. And I wish we had it for the Olympic trials, because I think it's a win across the board for the athletes and for the fans.
Now, do you think athletes should have to make weight 2 days in a row, a la World Championship or Olympics?
But for Final X, because they do for
Olympic trials, so that's more of a closer simulation in terms of making the weight. It's another way down the road.
It is kind of a thing.
Well, here's what I'll say about it. Since it is still, it's a 2 hour weigh in, no matter how you slice it. So if you're wrestling in 2 hours, it's going to reveal itself. If the weight is not for you and doesn't work for you, it's going to have revealed itself in a couple. It'll have revealed itself in the qualifiers, which could be 2 days.
Yep, that's true.
You could make the qualifiers 2 days, and Worlds is 2 days. So you could say, no, they've passed that, they are this size. They're the right size.
Yep.
So I think that's one way you can get around. And at 2 hours, we saw it with Gilman. It did, 2 hour weigh in. He was not right. He did not wrestle like we've seen him wrestle. And everyone believes that was the weight. So it'll reveal itself if you're not the right weight.
All right.
Good question.
For the record, I agree with you guys. I just like to ask questions that'll cue up a Christian monologue sometimes.
Oh, well, thank you.
All right. You guys want a hypothetical question or a serious question?
Serious.
We're serious people.
Which big names do you predict will retire if they don't make the Olympic team?
Ooh.
Well, Jordan said he will.
Jordan.
So I'll say him.
Huh.
I don't think, maybe that would, if Adeline doesn't make the team, it feels like
Dom Bradley.
Dom Bradley. I don't know. I he's got Vince Carter meme. I got one more in me.
Well, Gilman.
I don't think he'll take his shoes off.
You just think because he's not that type of guy.
I just think he's not that. Yeah. I think he'll
he doesn't like the spotlight, or
that just feels like
he can't allow himself to even think about that before competing in this event.
Yeah, and it's not his personality, in my opinion.
Someone wants JD to set the odds on over under number of shoes left on the mat.
Now, number of shoes or shoes?
But then you got to include Greco, and it's that gets tough because I'm not so in tune with that.
I don't know.
That's why they asked JD to do it, so none of us have to worry about it.
I would have to think about it longer for everything, but just men's freestyle, it would have to be only something like 1.5 or 2.5.
That's what I'm thinking. I don't think it'll be a bunch.
Yeah.
Like 3, I would be surprised if it's 3. It's normally only 1 or 2.
Yeah.
And then, like, I don't know, some guys might not consider themselves worthy of it, if that's the right word.
Yeah, that's how some people, I just lost and I don't want to make the match of, you know, whatever.
Yeah, make it about
all the humility that we know wrestlers possess. It's not necessarily people would like to show their appreciation for a great career.
Yes,
and sometimes you don't get that opportunity.
The guys who take their shoes off, I never paid this close attention. Do they walk off the mat and then do they have to like sprint over and grab the shoes again?
Now a coach will
coach or a referee. Well, James Green
anymore? No, because like
he's going 70.
He said his whole plan was like, it's like not really about the Olympics. It's about the next quad at 70. So he's
right, I forgot he said that.
He's feeling like a new man. I think the worst thing, and these kids, they'll ask for every stitch of clothing you got. Gotta get a shoe. Let me get your single. The audacity these kids have.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. Let me get your, I don't like it. I think it's off-putting. It's like, would you guys relax? How would you?
Then as a competitor, you have to be like, I need it.
Yeah.
Awkward.
Hey, Jose Altuve, give me your glove. Give me, like, what? Just, like, maybe have a conversation with him. It's very, like, give me. I don't like it.
All right.
Well, what's wrong with the youth in America?
Yeah. There better not be any AWA kids hanging over the banners. You know, they're asking dudes, hey, you know what? After dudes lose, they're like, Jordan, can I get your... Like, it's crazy.
I was at one of our kids got Jordan singlet a bunch. I think it was when it was in Madison, or maybe it was a shirt. I don't recall what it was.
If they want to take it off and get, but like, I don't know why. It just, if Caleb did that, if Nally did that, I would say, be quiet. Ask for stuff. But they would never do that.
Some other maybe big names. No insight here. Just looking at age. Guys like Gwiz.
Yeah.
Ringer. Ooh,
I'd say no on that one.
You'd say no on Ringer?
He's not that old.
He's 31.
How old do you think he is?
31?
Yeah, he's 31.
Oh, maybe.
He graduated.
Hey, maybe he's 29. Hold on.
He graduated in 16.
I might be confusing him with someone else. He was born in 1993. That would make him.
He might be 31.
30. He's 30.
30.
30 going on 31.
Nico.
Yeah.
What about Jaden Cox?
Feels like it.
He's not that old, though.
Not that old, but it just feels. It's just a feeling.
Yeah. It's just 4 more years. How much weight do you put on that? Of truly thinking in terms of quad versus world titles. Like, I think we think all those guys could go and wrestle at the level they're at for another couple of years. But do you really, if you think in terms of quad, are you willing to put yourself mentally and physically through that for another 4 years, which is a long time?
Mitchell Messenbrink.
Yeah.
I think he's lost the fire. I think he's just kind of tired of wrestling.
He's done.
Are we not saying Kyle Dake because we feel he's going to win, or are we not saying Kyle Dake because we think he's going to continue? Because
the question is, if they lose.
Oh, if they lose. Oh, okay.
I feel like he's probably.
Here's the thing. I feel like he's in a weighing the decision process in where it's not black and white. I'm done after 24. Like, I think he'll take a beat and then decide, you know?
Well, how old is he? 22?
No. He's 30-some.
Ben, how much do you think these guys at this extremely high level think about retirement while they're still actively pursuing?
I think they do.
Like, how can you not? But
how can you not?
So many. How much do you try and put that out of your brain and just be like, I got to get this done first?
I didn't. I mean, I said this is my retirement fight and I'm done after this. And then obviously I came out of retirement, but there was an intention to retire, and I did put a caveat that was met. And so that was why I came out of retirement. I think they got to think about it. And that's kind of sometimes where athletes fail, is they don't consider their future. And then, also one day they say, oh, I'm done. Right. Or like for, professional sports, maybe they can't make the team. Right. And they haven't considered their future at all. And then it's like, oh crap, what do I do? Right. Yeah. And then that's when like fighters end up, they keep fighting because they don't have anything they want to pursue, post competitive career. So I think that's really, really important.
I'm no longer surprised, but for a while there, you would hear these guys' interviews after a triumph or a win or something. And they, so many times they'll talk about, man, I thought I was done. I thought I was going to retire. I considered retirement. And David Taylor was open about it. Like, hey, I thought my wife had to kind of help talk me back into it. So I think it's something they are thinking about and confronting, and it's like a hurdle they have to almost like, not for all athletes, but they get over it, and it almost like is a okay, I've decided I'm going, and then I'm going full out. I think it's something they have to get past and like tackle frequently. So that's kind of my thoughts.
You just hear, sometimes you hear some people talk about, you can't have one foot out the door when you're trying to compete.
Yeah.
At the highest level. Yeah. Like, you have to be all in.
That's why I think they're like, they talk about it, they think about it, they approach it, they evaluate, and then they say, no, I'm not, and they go. And so in that way, they do stay all in.
Do you think there's any part of David Taylor that wants to stick around to try to get the most gold?
Probably.
I don't know.
At least some part of it.
I don't know if it would be that reason necessarily. Maybe it is. I think when you're wrestling.
How many does he have already? He's 4.
4. So we'd have to win a whole nother quad to beat Jordan's record.
He has won 4 more.
Yeah.
If you go a whole nother quad, how much of it is that reason where I want to be the undeniable greatest of all time, although you can always
deny
it because John did six straight. Yes. Although Taylor,
if he could.
Versus how much of it is, well, why would I retire when I'm winning?
Yeah, I think
I'm still the best.
I think that's a lot. He's like enjoying it. He's having fun. He's found a balance that I don't think a lot of people thought you could really obtain in wrestling and be the best in the world and do all the different things he's doing. But he's found a way to do that. And
I have a question for the two olds in here.
JD. Okay, hit me.
JD
and Tyler.
So what was the difference in your bodies between 33 and 37? What changed? Because David Taylor's 33
Christian
right
has
now.
A high-level athlete.
Next Olympics, he'll be 37.
Yeah, I got incredible shape in that quad.
Dude, honestly, my hip made me think I was getting older faster because I literally had that hip surgery and I got out of it and it was like, oh, damn, so much pain was gone. And so I think for me that gave me like a false sense of how old I was getting because I was having so many issues from that thing. And I didn't realize all the issues were from that thing. And I got through that thing and it was like, oh, wow, wait, this is different, you know? So I think that really started becoming problematic. We'll say right around maybe a little before 30 or, you know, right around is when it really started like flaring. And I dealt with it for a handful of years. And then once it was done, it was like, oh, I think it would have been way different had I done that earlier.
Obviously, Ben and I are very different. But like when I turned 37, from like 37 to now is when I've just started having way more annoying, nagging things that never happened and slower recovery. So that's kind of when it happened for me. But if I could dedicate my entire life to taking care of my body, like, and that was all I did was just train
that's
and
true.
Do that. I don't think I would be experiencing a lot of these things. So,
yes,
I'm certain that David could find that balance.
Bigger guys too, you feel like almost have an easier time.
Yeah, they got it easy.
Like, well, with longevity. I mean, you see in the UFC.
Yeah, because speed is the different factor.
Yep,
the lightweights.
Well, we have three. Oh,
yeah. To kind of parlay off that, wrestling knowledge and technique. Yes. Skill and mentally aside, do we know, generally speaking, for males, what is their physical peak age window?
I think anytime between early 20s and late 20s. Mm-hmm. That'd be my take. I think it's kind of a longish window. Like, I think, and obviously some people mature early. Say, I think of like a Kyle Snyder, who was very mature when he won a world title at 19, physically mature and strong. And then I think, you know, I do think your body starts going downhill in maybe late 20s, early 30s, somewhere in there. So I think it can be kind of a longer window.
I do want to give some people context. I remember when Kale Sanderson came out of retirement to make the world team in 2011.
Yeah.
A lot of people were like, oh, I mean, I don't know this for sure, but we're at the time where people were like, oh, he's old.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, because he'd been retired for 7 years.
So at that time, now. He was the same age that David Taylor is right now.
Yeah. Kind of crazy. 33?
Yeah.
33. So, yeah.
That's unreal.
Just a fun fact for you right there. Speaking of David Taylor, what are we to make with Nike signing DT?
Good pickup, that's for sure. Figure he can move some merch. The bigger thing out of it was the departure from Scrap Life, a company he'd been with for a long time, was not just a not just an athlete that was signed, but he had deep... he was deeply embedded within that company. So I think that was kind of the thing that stood out the most to me. But
people want to know what that same question person wanted to know if it might be a sign of anything between his and Bo's relationship.
I don't want to get into that, but I'll say this.
We're going to pass on that.
But what I will say is, signing, you don't, if David was going to be done in 2024, do you sign with a shoe company 1 week before trials?
Yeah, that's what, yeah.
Mm-mm. That's if you're, you know, we love reading the tea leaves. That to me says he's not going to be done in 24. I don't know. Remains to be seen. I don't think that's a decision that's been made in finality for David, but.
Yeah.
Looking at things wouldn't surprise me.
Last question before we end the show.
Okay.
Just quick, in a row, what's your most anticipated match for the Olympic trials this weekend?
Thomas Kuhn, Spencer Lee.
Spencer, TPG.
Ooh, that's great.
I love the drama.
I was thinking 74 kilograms in general. There's just so many storylines. Can Carter make the weight? Ooh. How are the young guys going to do? Is it going to be JB versus Dake again? Like, there's kind of a lot of fun.
That's 100 matches.
Dake versus Burroughs.
Yeah.
To me,
so you have to pick one. Okay. Thomas Gilman, Spencer Lee, or Dake versus Burroughs?
Yeah, both of those are.
No,
great.
It's not. Well, that's not what I said.
Give me Jordan Dake. We're playing the intro for the outro. It's fine. We will be back Thursday. Me and JD, and you,
and Tyler,
and me.
Oh, we'll be in State College, PA, because we're leaving Wednesday. Ben's going to be right there.
Are we doing
my basement?
He's gonna be better.
Okay.
All right, boys and girls and men and women. Thank you for watching. We will see you Thursday. Ben's gone. I mean, it's over. That's how you know it's over.
But I'm still going to dock him.
All right. Thanks. See you guys.